We know that oil and water don't mix, but how about oil and art or toys? A growing chorus of activists is pushing cultural institutions and even toy companies to cut their ties to the oil business. And they're having some success. Here's reporter Christopher Wirth in London.
On a cold night in Trafalgar Square, a group of 30 or so people rehearse a new piece of musical theater in front of Britain's National Gallery of Art.
Okay, so from the top. See the oil spill, breathe the gas flare.
This is guerrilla theater performed by an environmental group called Art Not Oil. And the target of their satire is a Rembrandt exhibition.
In London town, our story starts. My gallery of national art. Funded by the public.
That sonorous voice belongs to Chris Gerard, and it's not Rembrandt he takes issue with, but one of the exhibition's sponsors. Gerard introduces a sinister character underneath a museum banner bearing the logo of the oil and gas company Shell.
Then one day, a man from Shell came to town to cast a spell. A gallery of art wash.
Funding from companies like Shell has become a contentious issue in the British art world. Museums and opera houses say they need the money to make ends meet these days. But Gerard believes sponsorship deals give fossil fuel companies a respectability they don't deserve.
These companies aren't generous philanthropists. They give very small donations in order to cleanse their image.
The protesters draw a direct line between fossil fuels, climate change, and widespread pollution. And their goal is to make taking money from fossil fuel companies as unacceptable for cultural institutions as it would be to get support from a tobacco company.
Once we start exposing the kind of activities that these oil companies are involved in, then all of a sudden that has the potential to really damage the reputation of these institutions.
Shell wouldn't make anyone available for this story. The National Gallery sent an email saying it's grateful for Shell's support. A few arts institutions in the UK have given up fossil fuel funding, but others have resisted protesters' demands.
The Tate has been particularly secretive.
Anna Galkina says her arts and education organization, called Platform, wanted to know how much funding the Tate Gallery of Art receives from BP. BP is the company behind the 2010 oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Platform filed a Freedom of Information request with the gallery. Galkina says the document they got in return was
Redacted. About half of the text is redacted.
So the group went to court to try to get the information. And last week, Tate was ordered to disclose more about its relationship with BP. Again, neither BP nor Tate would make anyone available for an interview. And the pressure from environmentalists hasn't been limited to arts institutions. Shell also has a partnership with the toy company Lego, which produces Shell-branded brick sets that assemble into gas stations and oil trucks.
We don't think this is acceptable.
Sarah Aish is with Greenpeace.
The reason Shell have this partnership was to build brand recognition among children.
Earlier this year, Greenpeace set out to convince Lego not to renew that partnership. This Greenpeace video shows an idyllic Arctic landscape made entirely of Lego bricks. You see Lego polar bears, wolves, and other wildlife.
And then you see an oil rig, also made out of Lego.
Next, a stream of black crude spills out from the oil rig.
And the Lego world gradually fills up with oil.
The video went viral with around 6 million views. At first, Aya says, Lego didn't budge.
But as the weeks went on and the pressure mounted, I think at that point a company has to make a decision about whether they will risk having their brand tarnished.
In October, Lego announced the toy company and Shell will part ways. Lego also declined to make anyone available for an interview. Aya says she believes art museums can be convinced to follow Lego's example and cut their ties to fossil fuel companies. For The World, I'm Christopher Wirth, London.